Are you doing it?
Recording?
Yeah. Okay. But I can't text it.
You
can airdrop it somewhere.
All right.
Is that good?
That works.
What time was he didn't sleep last night?
2:30.
2:30. Okay. Siyata Dishmaya, we're up to Nefesh HaChaim. Shar Dalid, the end of Perek Zayin. And we're continuing on in very important and many orders. Reb Chaim Elojener pointed out last time that Chazal have a fascinating mashal. That is, in the paragraph that precedes it, mashal la'adam. Where is it in your edition? Mashal la'adam. Reshutet. Okay. Moshe Amr Chazal, Gemara Shabbos Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph. Mashal la'adam, Sha'amar l'shlucha. He says, Chazal have an important mashal. An individual asks someone to bring him wheat. And he says, Haleli kur shalchitim l'aliyah, bring me wheat up to my attic. And then he asks him, after the messenger does his job, he says, did you put chaff inside? And the fellow answers, no, I brought you only the best stuff. I didn't put any chaff inside. And he says, actually, you hurt me. You didn't help me. Because when you order chaff, wheat, you need chaff inside. The chaff, what it does is it absorbs the water so that the wheat is not damaged. The mashal, says Rav Chaim Elojener, is to tell us that if there isn't Yiras Shamayim that is encasing the wheat, our Torah, so then the Torah is not going to last, the Torah is going to be damaged. And that's where we're up to. V'lachem. V'lachem samach etzlo habraisa. When we learn the requirement that Torah needs Yiras Shamayim, immediately the Gemara says, Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, Ma'ariv Adam Kavchitim Mekor Shel Tvua. Excuse me. After we said this mashal of that you need the chaff with the wheat, the Gemara then says, Ma'ariv Adam Kavchitim Mekor Shel Tvua Ve'ena Choshesh. That there's no concern in Hilchos Mammon that if I sell you wheat and I put in a small amount of chaff, then it's not considered as if I've been mazik you in not giving you the full wheat. So if you make up for a pound of wheat and I give you a small amount of chaff inside, the Gemara says that's not a problem. Why? Continues Rav Chaim Elojener, v'hu din midinei gezel v'ona, that really is a halach in regards to gezel and ona. The Gemara is telling me that since it's normal to want the chaff inside, therefore the seller is allowed to put chaff inside, because really the customer should want having the chaff inside as well. But the question is, asher mikomo b'sefer nezikin, this halacha should really appear in Nezikin. And the Gemara over here, as I mentioned, is talking about Yiras Shamayim. The Gemara over here is talking about the requirement to learn Musar. And the Gemara said that learning Musar is as important as the chaff in protecting the wheat. So what does the Gemara then say? And the halacha is that when it comes to Dine Mamanos, that the seller is also allowed to put in. Why did the Gemara bring it in here? Omnam harenu bazeh, but rather, what is the Gemara bringing out? No, it's not teaching us a din and dine mamnos. The Gemara is telling us it's something practical in our Talmud Torah. Shekemo b'masa umatan, hagam shenira kigezel v'ana. Just like when it comes to business, it's at first glance looks like you're stealing from the person when you put the chaff in, you the seller. Omnam kiman shakav afar, since the chaff is hashim or vakium, it's necessary to protect the tfua. It's not concerned if the seller is stealing. So too, when you take out time, he says a little bit of time to devote to Yira, and I would add Sifra Yira, I would add Chasidus, to take out a little bit of time, then Lisponi Ma'at Biyuras Hashem, the Gemara is saying, just like the seller isn't stealing from the buyer, so too you're not stealing from the Torah by putting in Yerushalayim and Chasidus. Kivan, Shuhu HaGoyrim, why? It should be Bittul Torah. Rav Chaim Velazhner doesn't consider these limudim traditional Talmud Torah or Talmud Torah, but Kivan Shuhu Goyrim Shetiskayim Etzloi Chachmas HaTorah, but because that is what causes the maintenance inside of you for Chachmas HaTorah, so then in such a case I would not qualify as Bittul Torah. So that's why on Friday morning it's okay to learn Nefesh HaChaim, because without it, then the rest of the week wouldn't last in the way it is supposed to last. Perekhas. Omnam Domine, Nami. But the inference goes in both directions. Rav Chaim Velazhner, the last few weeks, had been developing that when it comes to Talmud Torah, their Talmud Torah without Limud HaYira, without Limud HaMusar, without Limud Chasidus, then ultimately it could become entirely warped. So Yira and Chasidus now have a very, very central part in our Talmud Torah itself, in the muhus, in the essence of who we are. That's on the one hand. And that's what he's going to develop. Now he's going to go in the other direction. He's going to take the same material and show that even though it's so important, Sifra, Yira, Musar, and Chasidus, but he doesn't want you to confuse it with Amelus B'Torah. He doesn't want you to confuse it with Torah Hashem Tamima. And so now he's going to say that even though Friday morning is so important in learning Nefesh HaChaim, and Mesilas Yesharim is so important, don't let that become a distortion of what your Talmud Torah is supposed to be. That's what Perekhes is going to be about. And what he's going to say is that at the end of the day, the Musar is a minority. The Sifrei Yir and Sifrei Chasidus are a minority. You need a little bit of chaff to protect a lot of wheat. So you need a little bit of Musar and Chasidus to protect a lot of Torah. That's what Rav Chaim Velazhner is going to advance. Yes?
And there was a big discussion with the Rambam and others that if Yerushalayim and Amos Hashem and stuff like that is a particular mitzvah from the 613.
Right.
But Rav Chaim Velazhner say that it's a separate mitzvah or more of a prerequisite, so everything needs Yerushalayim.
Right. I don't think Rav Chaim is getting involved in that discussion. I think he's saying, however you're going to qualify it as a mitzvah, it's a mitzius. It's a mitzius. The mitzius is that people who don't work on their ethical, moral personality, ultimately their Torah becomes distorted. That's what he's saying. So you could you can count it as 10 mitzvahs, you can count it as no mitzvah. But at the end of the day, it's a mitzvah. What you're driving at is a separate question, and that is, how do you develop the counting of mitzvahs? When do Chazal decide that you count something as a mitzvah, when you don't? How? What is the requisites of something as a mitzvah? So that, of course, the Rambam and the Ramban spend a lot of time in the Sefer HaMitzvot debating and discussing. But I don't think Rav Chaim Velazhner has to get involved in that issue about Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem at all. It happens to be the Rambam counts Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem as a mitzvah, but I don't think it's going to have to get involved. Yeah.
So I just wonder, with regard to the Talmud Torah, often we spend a lot of time doing a lot of Chazara on it. I just find if we don't do that with the Sefer, if we're only spending 20 minutes a day, 30 minutes, whatever it is, in the morning or before you learn Gemara, how are you actually supposed to drill that into your head and have that change you as a person if you're not going to chazer over it a lot and spend
a lot of time? That's a nice question. The question is as follows, that when it comes to Gemara, so the proportion of Gemara you're learning is Baruch Hashem large, and it's really, really important to do Chazar, just a moment of Chizuk of Chazar. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that someone who learns and doesn't do Chazara is like someone who's Zoreya Ve'ena Kotzer. It's like someone who plants and doesn't cut off. In other words, you're going to hold on to your learning only through Chazara. It's very interesting. I'll just add to that Gemara, the Mashal. What's easier to do? To plant or to cut? To plant is extremely difficult. You have to plow once, then you put the seeds in, and often you have to plow again, and then you have to water. Planting is extremely difficult. How easy is it to cut off a fruit? All you do is pluck it off. It's not a coincidence that the Gemara uses the mashal of Zoreya V'Kotzer. You worked so hard. You worked so hard figuring out the Gemara. You worked so hard figuring out the Rashi and the Tosos. Once you know it, It's so easy to read now. But it's fascinating, you and I, I'll speak for myself, I would imagine you also, you and I have a harder time reviewing something that we know. And even in our intellect, we know that that's the kotzer. We know that we're not going to retain it, but somehow the Yetzer just doesn't want us to do it. There's something more exciting. All of us have a cowboy to us. We have the excitement of the new American frontier. You know, go to do something, develop something new. The gold rush and so on. Those things are really exciting. You know, you go to Israel and you learn something new and you hear a geshmak ashir and, you know, and it's hard, it's challenging, and then you finally understand that all those things are exciting. That's part of our American spirit. But the Chazara, that's harder. But by the way, once you find a system of Chazara, you'll find it's extremely enjoyable. The beginning is going to be hard, but then it's going to become enjoyable. So your point is a very valid point, and that is Chazara is extremely critical in terms of maintaining information and maintaining Torah. The question is, how is that going to play in? There were two questions that you were asking. One was, what's the relationship between the Chazara and the actual Limud itself? In other words, when am I going to do Chazara Nefesh HaChaim? And then there was another question that you were asking, I think. You didn't spell this out, but I think you were asking, and that is, does it really make sense that the amount of time that we devote to Yiran Chasidus being, let's do a calculation together. So you have Friday morning is 45 minutes. And then you have every morning, let's say, so the average guy here probably is spending between 3 to 5 hours, and that's giving a lot of time, to Yira and Chasidus for the entire week. And how many hours of Gemara? Calculated, it's quite a bit more. So we're talking about 6-7 times the amount. So you're asking also, is that proportion correct? That's also what you're driving at. So let's see. Rav Chaim Volozhin is going to address a little bit of the second question. Perichas. Amnam domino nami. Be'inyin shtei ha'mishom shim shilu be'inyin ha'tor v'yir. Let's look at the two parables that we use from Chazal in regards to Torah v'yir. Hefech asher shogu b'zeh kamim rabbas b'nei amin. Rav Chaim Volozhin is going to give mussar not to the guys who are learning Shana Aleph and Shana Beis in Yeshiva, but rather he's going to be giving mussar now to the Balabatim who are not learning enough Chumash and Gemara. Shekovim kol esek limud b'sefer yura mussar v'ovad. I know a lot of people who, unfortunately, as they grew older, they went to Yeshiva, but now their extent of their involvement of Talmud Torah is a nice Dvar Torah and inspirational shiurim. Now, inspirational shiurim are really, really, really important. They're really, really, really important. But Rav Chaim Volozhin is going to say that's not enough. It's not enough. Shekemo be'inin kedima sa'otz l'tvuasa b'sofa. What was the mashal we gave? Two mashalim. One was that Yerushalayim is the box that holds the wheat. That was one mashal we had a month and a half ago. And the other mashal that we have just now was that the chaff is the mussar and the wheat is the yira. So in both cases, the Torah was the wheat and the mashal was either to a box or to chaff. V'chiyale klal aleva adam. Kivan shekol shkiyum v'shimar atfuah hua otzer. Is anybody going to think that since the tfuah needs the box and the tfuah needs the chaff, Yasin calls Mano Rubo Babinyan Otsavat that they're gonna spend their life instead of investing in wheat, they're gonna invest in wheat boxes? Wheat boxes have no significance. Wheat boxes are necessary if you're gonna invest in wheat. But that's not where you're making your money. Velo Yachnis Bo Tfuah Ma'olam, and he's not gonna focus on investing on the wheat. Kain Ech Yalda Liv Ish Lomar, Shizet Tachlis Adam Yisrael. If you accept everything that I've said before, says Rav Chaim Volozhin, which seemed to be the Pharisee Gemaras, would anybody say that the Tachlus HaAdam v'Yisrael Sheyich Yosin Kol Kfias Limudo V'Binyan Otzer Shel Yerushalayim Levad, that they should be focusing on Yerushalayim? So here we have this fantastic, beautiful, and sometimes unfortunately tension-ridden dialectic. You guys know what a dialectic is, right? This tension-ridden dialectic means where you have two ideas that seem to be contradictory, but at the same time are supposed to live with each other. And they complement each other if you do it right, and if you do it wrong, then they conflict with each other. So for example, in our case, dialectic would be the chashivas of Limud Torah and then the importance of Yiras Musar. That would be the dialectic. A dialectic would be a mitzvah. Is the mitzvah a din in the gavra, or is it a din in the chefza? That would be a dialectic. Is the gavra, is it a chefza? Lomdus is built on that system of dialectic. So here we've got this dialectic. And the dialectic has been this tension that Reb Chaim Volozhiner says. On the one hand, we know the Yiras Shamayim and Musar is so important. Yet at the same time, Chazal say that it's the wheat and the box that protects the Torah. Now here the history comes in. And this is why I describe it as a dialectic. The great Baal Shem Tov, Zechusa Yodin Aleinu, noticed that most Jews did not have the opportunity to sit by the feet of the Vilna Gaon. How many Jews in the history of the world had the opportunity to sit by the feet of Vilna Gaon? 5, 10, probably max. And what he notices is that there are many Jews who've never had the opportunity to learn Torah, and they look in the Beis Medrash at envy to what's described by some as the intellectual elite, the Jewish intellectual elite, and they feel lousy about themselves because they didn't have that opportunity. Comes along the Baal Shem Tov, and the Baal Shem Tov says, no, every Jew is holy. Every Jew should work on connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Rebbe, this is what the situation was 300 years ago. But Rebbe, I don't know how to read Aramaic. I can't read. All the women weren't able to read, and many of the men weren't able to read a pasuk in Chumash. Certainly even a Daf Gemara. So just for you to appreciate where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put you, that you've been able to learn in yeshiva, that you're learning in yeshiva, that you could read a Daf Gemara, or you think you can learn it, read a Daf Gemara, and your Rebbe is showing you that you don't know how to read a Daf Gemara. That's beautiful. That's called learning how to read a Daf Gemara. But at this juncture, so many of us are so lucky. And by the way, just take a moment of time to think about how many of our brethren in the United States barely know that they're Jewish, certainly that they don't know how to read a Daf Gemara. Just A, to appreciate, and also to take a responsibility on ourselves, what we could do to help Klal Yisrael. So they come to the Baal Shem Tov, the Baal Shem Tov really comes to them, and he says, no, every Jew can connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every Jew has a holy neshama. And then what happens is the Baal Shem Tov's message spreads like wildfire. Because it's a lot easier to spread a message than to get everybody into a yeshiva and forget about the responsibilities of parnasa and poverty and so on, to be able to turn them all into talmidei chachamim. And then what the Chaim Volozhiner notices is, wait a second, no one appreciates what the Vilna Gaon is and what Talmud Torah is. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner does two things, as we started with in the beginning of the year. He built the yeshiva, so that the Torah of the Vilna Gaon can now slowly find its way to the masses, and every single yeshiva today could trace its roots. Every single Ashkenazic yeshiva could trace its roots to that first yeshiva. And he writes a sefer, Nefesh HaChaim. He says, no, don't. The Baal Shem Tov is right. Of course, he never uses the Baal Shem Tov's name. He never even says Chassidim. He says, the Baal Shem Tov was right. This is my way of presenting it. The Baal Shem Tov was right. The Baal Shem Tov was right that every Jew has Kedusha. And I'm going to show you how much Kedusha there is in every Jew. And in fact, all of Nefesh HaChaim Shar Aleph is full of that. And I would even argue, I've never seen a sefer of Hasidus that argues as persuasively as Nefesh HaChaim about the potential and greatness of every Jew. In other words, Shar Aleph of Nefesh HaChaim is the greatest sefer Hasidus out there, in my opinion. And I say this as a Hasid. I come entirely from Hasidim. I come from Hasidim, who over the generations internalized the idea of Katz, the Hasidus is supposed to be on the inside, not on the outside. My great-grandparents looked like Hasidim, but my father is a Chassid, but you would never know it until you really, really, really got to know. That's the message of Kotsk. The message of Kotsk is that Hasidus is not only an expression on the outside, it's really what is going on in the inside of the person. So the Vilna Gaon's messages is now been brought together in one sefer, Nefesh HaChaim. Shar Dalid is talking about the chashivos of Talmud Torah. Don't distort the role of Yira and Musar and Chassidus vis-a-vis Talmud Torah. But we're not denying the chashivos of every Jew. We're not denying the potential inside of every Jew. We're not denying the kedusha of every Jew. But at the same time, says Reb Chaim Volozhiner very sharply, he says, don't tell the world that the only thing that they need to do is learn Sifrei Yira and Chassidus, and they you should think that they're being Jews the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to be Jews. It's just not so. Just look at Chazal! Look at Chazal. Look how Chazal described Sifrei Yira and Chassidus. They describe it as the shaft that protects the wheat. They describe it as the box that protects the wheat. Let's continue on. Shekemo beinyin kdimas otz l'tvua shebesocha v'chiyah l'klal aleva adam shkiv shekol kiyu v'shimah atvua wotzer yasek osmano rubav binyin otz levad v'lo yachnis bo tvua me'olam. Eich yala aleva ishlomash is a tachlis adam Yisrael. How can you spread this message that this is the tachlis of a Jew? Sheyosim kol kfias limuda binyin otzer shiur shemayim levad v'lo otzer rik, and then all they're creating is an empty box. V'lo yosav also biyodu mikal amole rak mitzvah achas. So they'll get one mitzvah, shal Hashem elokecha tira. The Gan, let's see if you want to make a lumda shalayim with me on this. There's, in my edition, it's the last part of the paragraph. V'gam ein halal, is that your paragraph also in this way? V'gam, and that's on the top of Reish Chaf, or on the bottom of Reish Yutes, where is it? Bottom of Reish Yutes. V'gam ein aleho shem otzer klav. Anybody want to give... Tell me what that the words mean, and it's also not an otzer. What does he mean by that? And it's also not an otzer, yeah?
There's no wheat in it, and it's not a star chest, right?
Beautiful. That's the lumdish you're reading. If there's no wheat inside, it's not even called a storage box for wheat. The only way it could even Yerushalayim could even be called Yerushalayim is if it's Yerushalayim that's holding Torah. Reb Chaim Volozhiner says a sharp chiddush. He says it's not even called real Yerushalayim if it's not holding Torah. Because just like a box that is empty is just a box, it's not a wheat box. It needs the wheat inside to be called a wheat box. So too, Yerushalayim is not called Yerushalayim unless it's holding Torah. If it's not holding Torah, then it's not called Yerushalayim. Here we might have a machlokes between the Baal Shem Tov and the Vilna Gaon. It's possible. He might not have formulated this as extreme as Reb Chaim Volozhiner just says it. But this is, we're here today, we are who we are, because of this hashkafa. No doubt about it. In other words, all of the glory of what you're accomplishing in yeshiva is based on the fact that Reb Chaim Volozhiner pushed this point through and was mashpiyim klal Yisrael. And then it goes naturally, flows naturally to his next point. V'locha kivnu chazal. There's a famous Gemara, Ein lo l'kodesh baruch hu ela yotzer sheyir shemayim bilvad. That Chazal say the only thing that's left, particularly after the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, is Yir Shemayim. So he says, Ela lo seyira doesn't mean just Yir Hashem alone. But it means the Yira shebesocha munachin hamon tfuos, that's put inside of that Yira a lot of Torah. And what is that? Mikra, Chumash is so important. Mishnah is so important. V'halachos, and learning halachos. Notice, by the way, he didn't even say Gemara over here. Is that interesting? Mishnah v'halachos. V'sharin yoni ha-Torah. She'ayira hi otzer matov. U'mishameres she'yiskaynu etzlov. By the way, I'm sure he means Gemara as well. But it's interesting that he doesn't say the word Gemara over here. Aruchim u'shninu b'piv. It has to be aruchim set up u'shnunim and sharpened in one's mouth. That's what he's referencing here is the famous Rasha from Kriya Shana Vishinan Tam Levanecha She'tiyeh Chidudim Mipicha, that the words of Torah should be sharp in your mouth. In other words, that we should be able to have things clear and respond quickly in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. V'charusim alu b'achliba, we have to talk about this separately. And that the Torah needs to be ingrained in our hearts. K'mo she'muchach v'muchrach v'mashikos of od, and he says because there's a stira. We just said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only has Yerushalayim, but there's also another Maimer Chazal. Ein lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu el dalet amos she'alacha b'vad. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu only has his four amos of halacha after the Beis HaMikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu receded from a certain level of Melo Aretz Kevodo, which emanated from the Beis HaMikdash. He receded from all that. And he only now has the four Amos of Halacha. But didn't we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu was only found where there's Yiras Shamayim? So the answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu was only found where there's Halacha that's surrounded by Yiras Shamayim. That's Reb Chaim Volozhiner's basic theory. In many ways, Shaar Dalet Perek Ches is one of the most important. I would say it falls into the top 10 of all of the pieces of Nefesh HaChayim. Falls in the top 10. We'll let David Lieberman decide whether it's 7 or 4. But at the end of the day, it's... do you guys even know who he is? Oh, my goodness. David Letterman.
Oh, yeah. Comedian. Oh,
okay. I just said it too fast. All right. I'm sorry for being Daniel Lukavskus that you were learning so much that you had forgotten everything. Okay. Vizelusha Omar Kosov. That's what the Pasuk says. Tov ma'at b'yuras Hashem. When the pasuk says that you need that a little bit of Yiras Shamayim is better than an Otzer Rav, it means a large Otzer that's not protected by Yiras Shamayim. Okay, this is a very, very important piece of Nefesh HaChaim, and I'm really, really glad that the Siyata Vishmayim we've been doing this together. Okay, this week's parsha has a... pulled out my notes first on Shalom Bayis. I was about to start talking about Shalom Bayis. I'm like, no, that's not yet. And there's Hashem at the right time. It's Hashem looking forward to learning with you one day in Grus Kola. Okay, so I'll put that back in my, pull out the other piece of paper. Okay, the Torah Kedosha in this week's Parsha says, recounts Paro giving Musar to Shifra and Pua that they didn't listen to his decree, and his decree was that they should kill all the Jewish firstborns. We're going to focus on one part, one word, that's going to be absolutely critical to something that I've spoken about in the past, but I don't think I've discussed with you, and it's a passion of mine. And the reason why I'm speaking about it again, I'll share with you shortly. I had experience, I missed learning with you a couple weeks ago. Was it a couple weeks ago? Was it last week? I've lost track already.
No, it was a couple weeks ago.
So, when Rav Noam was here, so I was in the States, and I spoke in a girls' high school. And something really struck me, and it's weighing on me. This week's parsha, the Paro says, Madua asisen hadover hazeh. He said, why did you do this? And the Shem Yishmuel points out that, really, if one is going to be precise, the words shouldn't be asisen, that you did. Madua asisen hadavar hazeh. But rather, what would be appropriate? The word asiya is not what happened. It's madua lo asisen ma she'amarti. But Paro says, why did you do this? They didn't do anything. The problem, he's upset at them that they didn't do anything. So asisen is not precise. Now, every word in the Torah is precise. You could say he's just using an expression. But for the Shem Yishmuel, that's not enough. Why over here is the word asisen used? And the Shem Yishmuel explains that there are times when a person doesn't do something, then they're actually doing more than anything they could ever do in action. What does that mean? What did the pasuk go on and say? The pasuk says that the women of Yisrael are chayos heina. They're chayos. They're alive. They're full of energy. The Shem Yishmuel brings many rayas that when a person doesn't do something, but they're not doing it in simcha because, and they're not doing it for a reason, and that brings them simcha, then that's the great alpich kabbalah. That's the greatest asiyah. Alpich kabbalah. That's the greatest asiyah. That's the Shem Yishmuel's Yisod. Sometimes doing nothing with a joy is actually greater than action itself. Let's go to the topic for today. I went to a high school. I was actually very impressed. Very, very fine and sincere girls. And I spoke to them about Shabbos. I decided Shabbos is one of my favorite topics. I would speak to them about Shabbos Kodesh. And I realized that so many of the good girls there we're counting down the minutes until Shabbos is going to be over, so that they could text, so that they could go out with their friends. Talking about really good kids. Torah Kedoshah describes Shabbos in the following way: V'shamru v'nei solas haShabbos, lasos es haShabbos. Shabbos, when we rest, is not about not doing something, but actually the rest of Shabbos is the greatest asiya that there is in the world. It's the greatest doing. That's what Shem Yishmol goes on to say from Adu Asisan, and this is Parsha. And I want to understand with you today, what does that mean, that we're doing and creating when we're resting on Shabbos? And if these girls would really internalize this message, if you would internalize this message, then I promise you, your Shabbos is going to be entirely different. Rav Soloveitchik describes, let's start with a little bit of basics. Why is it that on Shabbos, about 39 malachos are that we're not allowed to do creative acts? You could have a person who schleps from one side of the yeshuv over here to another side of the yeshuv on Shabbos, and technically he's inside of an Erev. It's hard to find what Yisr he was over. He's probably over in Yisr Derabban on some type of tircha on Shabbos. But you could move houses on the kibbutz of Shalavim and not be over in Yisr Shabbos. Move all the furniture. Yet if you take out a pencil, you write two letters, you're over in Yisr Daraisa. You strike a match, that's an Yisr Daraisa. Why? Why is it that's the way it was formulated? And the answer is, the Rav described, that on Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to cease from creative acts, to reflect on the world from an entirely spiritual creative perspective. Not to see the world from its physical creativity, but to see the world from spiritual creativity. In fact, this beautiful rational explanation of Rav Soloveitchik, he then went on to explain that if humanity doesn't reflect on take its time out from its physical creativity, then what it will do is ultimately create in a way that will eat itself up. Because man's creativity is not perfect. The great example is nuclear energy. If man doesn't see the world from a spiritual perspective, he could create and create and create and actually destroy himself. The only entity that creates in the physical world that's good, perfect, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You and I are made up of Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara, and therefore our creativity is enmeshed with both good and bad. So Shabbos is the time the Rav described that a person pulls away from that world of physical creativity. How beautiful the Yesod in Kabbalah from the Ben Ishchai fits in with Rav Soloveitchik's rational explanation. The Ben Ishchai writes that the koach achidush of Shabbos, the ability to create in the spiritual world, is 1,000 times. By the way, I try on Shabbos to learn as much Iyun as possible. Because the Ben Ishchai tells me that the koach achidush on Shabbos is 1,000 times koach of the rest of the week. And in the yeshiva, implicitly, the exact opposite message is sent. The message that's sent is, rest up on Shabbos so you can learn well in the rest of the week. But it's opposite. It's hafuch. The 6 days of Sheshes Mei Bereshis are preparations. Exactly, it's farkert. Pum farkert. It's the exact opposite. The Sheshes Mei Bereshis are the time in which we prepare for Kedushas Shabbos. Says the Shem Yishmuel in that piece. Shem Yishmuel says, and if a person internalizes that spiritual creativity creates a different person on Shabbos. A person becomes a different entity. Soloveitchik described that when he was a child, he used to love learning with his father, but there was one time he'd ask his father to go away. And that was a time towards the end of Shabbos. And Shalashu, this time he would go to a Chabad house. And what he would do is he would go to the Chabad Shtibel, and he would spend time, and he loved the singing, and he loved the Ruach, and he loved everything that was there. And, excuse me, this is strange. Someone never calls it. This is my wife. Normally doesn't call. Hello? Everything okay? Okay, I'm going to be done in the shiur in 10 minutes. Okay. Okay.
She told me I finished at 9:15. Okay, I apologize. Just wanted to make sure it wasn't an emergency.
Chazal say that when it comes to lassos as a Shabbos, it means to be entirely transformed. And Rav Soloveitchik described that on Shabbos he saw that. He would go, and he would go to a shul in with full of Chabad Hasidim, and he enjoyed every single moment that he was with them. Every single moment. One time, it was getting late, he wanted to go back to his father, and he turned to a chassid, and he said, "What time is Ma'ariv?" The chassid said to him, "You want to chase Shabbos away?" And then he said to the Rav Soloveitchik, "Beryl, do you recognize me?" And the Rav said, "No, I didn't recognize him at all." He was a majestic-looking chassid. And the man says to him, "Beryl, ich bin Yassel de Wassertrug, I'm Yassel the water carrier." Rav Soloveitchik looks at him again, "Yes, now he recognizes him." He says, "Yassel the water carrier became an entirely different person on Shabbos, an entirely different person. Because that power of being removed from the physical creative world and going to the spiritual creative world, a person becomes an entirely different person." And Rav Soloveitchik gave Musar to his Baal Batim in Boston. He said, "You guys keep Shabbos in the sense that you rest on Shabbos. But Lasso says HaShabbos, that Shabbos in your resting, you become a different person, that's something that you're missing. That's something that you don't have." Now, what are we missing? What we're missing today is the understanding that Shabbos is an opportunity for, in Sifrei Chassidus, it's described as yichud with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being alone with Kudsh HaBriach Hu. The Pasuk says, "Al yetze ish mimekomo," that a person is not supposed to go out from his place on Shabbos. Of course, we know that that means the tchum. But Sifrei Chassidus, they understand, "Al yetze ish mimekomo," a person is located alone with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Someone showed me beautifully that the Meshech Chachma says that's the difference between Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to cook for everybody. On Yom Tov, we go and we go to the Beis HaMikdash, all of Klal Yisrael together. The word Moed means Va'ad, where it's a time that's designated where we all meet together in the Beis HaMikdash. Yom Tov is a social time, all of Klal Yisrael goes together. Shabbos is Al Yetzei Yish Mimekomo. Shabbos is a time where we're supposed to be alone with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, with our family, but alone with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is it any coincidence that the biggest struggle that teenagers have today is texting on Shabbos? What happens usually when we're alone? What do? We do this. We pull out our phones. We all do it. Even 45-year-olds do it. Wait a second. Next time we're about to pull out our phone, say, "Wait a second, I just want to be alone with HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a few minutes." And these teenagers are so scared of that, they don't know how to do it. Shabbos was put into place. The reason why there was Meleches Machsheves, that's also, which includes electricity, was so that we could be alone with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, they say that there was once a fellow who kept Shabbos. He was a prominent person in his Orthodox community, but he loved golf. Most people in his shul would never go and play golf on Shabbos, because Yetzer HaHara got the best of him, and he arranged that the golf range be also included in the Erev. He didn't even tell people why, but he spoke to the rabbi, he asked, "Could we extend the Erev?" And sure enough, he got the golf range in the Erev. And he goes out after the meal, before Mincha, he goes out to tea. So the story goes, it's apocryphal, obviously, that Satan turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, "You can't let this guy get away with this. It's too much." So God says, "Okay, just give me a second." He gets up to tea. This guy, he tees, and he does something he never did in his life. He got a hole in one. Perfect. So Satan turns to God and he says, "What do you do now? You gave him a hole in one." So God says, "No problem. He can't tell anybody. That's his biggest Gehenna." Very, very, very profound. Here the man is alone. He can't tell anybody. Can't text. Can't share it. He's too embarrassed.
But he's got a Kodesh Baruch Hu with him. But he has no communication with that Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the greatest Gehenna. Shabbos is the greatest gift. If a person really, really understands that it's a moment where we could be alone with Kodesh Baruch Hu. When I was a child, and I beg of you that somehow you're able to do this, my father was a busy man. I might have mentioned this in the past. My father has a PhD in economics. He was working. He taught in university. He used to teach in university at night. He sometimes, many times, I would see him before I go to sleep. Shabbos morning, whatever was going on throughout the week, when I woke up in the morning, my father was sitting and learning by the Shabbos table. Not a Rajba, not even Gemara. My father was learning the Parsha B'Gilin. And what my father taught me without saying a word, the biggest things that we learn in life are the things that we see without someone saying a word to us. What my father taught me was that Shabbos is a time where no matter what is going on, we're alone with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that could give us a tremendous koach to be able to do the rest of the 6 days right. But two things need to happen. Number one, the first thing we need to do is to be able to truly appreciate that being alone is not something that's scary. It's actually something that's beautiful. Lo irara ki ata imadi. That whenever a person goes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with them. And Shabbos affords us that time to be able to be alone with Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shabbos affords us that time to be able to be alone with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now some of you are going to go on and you're going to do things that in life are going to make you very, very busy. And there might be even times when you thought that you'd be able to devote more of your life to spirituality than you really, during the 6 days of the week, than you thought that you thought you'd be able to devote more, and it turns out you're able to devote less. You want to know where a person is holding? Sometimes you can't measure how long his night seder is. Sometimes you can't even measure how many times he missed a minyan from davening. But is that person, when Shabbos comes along, is that person alone with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So no matter what, you're in medical school, and you have three different rotations starting on Matzoy Shabbos, and you have an exam and so on, everything stops on Shabbos Kodesh, and you're alone with Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's why I think studying even science and math one shouldn't do on Shabbos, unless we're talking about cases of Pikuach Nefesh. Because now is a time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu could speak to you. And somehow in our generation, that's a little bit missing. That ability for a person to be alone with Kodesh Baruch Hu on Shabbos Kodesh affords them that possibility. I guarantee a person who makes the most of their Shabbos Kodesh, that individual will always be able to feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into the system. Says the Shem Yishmael, that's how the Pasuk in Tzu concludes. Lasos es HaShabbos, when you rest, you're actually making yourself a new entity. Lidol Rosam, if you want to know whether you could pass on Judaism to the next generation, it depends on what your Shabbos is going to be. Lidol Rosam. The Darosam effect is affected by Shabbos Kodesh. If you're able to turn that Shvisa from simply not being able to do things to a sense of communication, of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you'll pass it on to the next generation. I saw that with my father. That's how he passed it on to his children. Not the Sheshes he made gracious, but Shabbos Kodesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the Siyata D'Shmaya. It's not easy. In our generation, it's not easy. You have to think and spend time. The girl said to me, okay, very nice, but how do I do it? We need to spend time. I'll tell you what I told them, and with this I end, in two sentences. What I told them was, start, talking about 9th graders, 10th graders, start with a minute of time. This coming Shabbos, it was Friday, spend a minute, let HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak to you in a way that you've seen that HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to you. Whether it means going out and looking at the world and thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether it means learning a Pasuk of Tehillim, not saying Tehillim, learning a Pasuk of Tehillim,
learning this week's parasha, in other words, the difference between saying and learning is that saying is you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally to talk to you. You've done enough talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or you're stuck that you feel you can't talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks to you. And for some of you, it will be a tzais, it will be a Reb Chaim. For some of you, it will be a Nefesh HaChaim, a piece of Tanya, a piece from the Baal Shem Tov, whatever it might be. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to you. Be'ezer Hashem, we should be zocha to be Mamshech Kedushas HaShabbos, because that's the key for the Darosa.